Hello, Radioland. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Bible Brothers and Beer podcast. Tonight we have a special guest, Josh. Let's get started. Sitting here, drinking beer, talking guys, dreaming, killing time, living life with some down home friends. All right. How is everybody doing out there? I hope everyone's doing great. So, my name is Richard.
I'm Caleb, and I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking, Richard.
Glad you're doing well. And our special guest, Joshua.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Luna.
Joshua, just, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Share as much or as little as you want so our audience can get to know you.
Yeah, I moved to Colorado right after COVID in 2021. And it was just me, my wife, and one kid at the time. So shout out to my wife and my one kid. And since then, I've got another kid. So shout out to that second baby. But yeah, we moved here for work. I work in the oil and gas and corporate accounting. And we were looking for a church, and we found a church. And ever since we found that church, my life's taken a new journey that I'm excited about.
Yeah, and that's how you found this Bible Brothers and Beer, right? You met Caleb?
Yeah, I met Caleb at a men's retreat, and he invited me to the men's group, and a week later I came, and I haven't left.
Yeah. Thanks for not leaving.
We're glad you haven't left.
Despite us, he has not left yet.
I know, I consider myself one of the OGs, but I don't say OG. That's
right. Yeah. We had OGs on this podcast a few
official OGs
episodes ago. Yeah,
so the OG.
Yeah, so thank you for joining us, Joshua. Appreciate it. Joshua or Josh? Do you care?
I don't care. I respond to both. You know, friends call me Luna. So you can call me Luna. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's a strong name.
Yeah.
It's a very strong name.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tonight we're going to discuss baptism, and then we'll get into that. And then the second part of that, of course, is a fellowship. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about what we're drinking. You know, all kinds of good stuff flowing on the table and in the glass. So, what I'll do is let's talk about baptism, and I'll punt it over to Caleb because he has all the great questions.
Yes, this is a question king here. So first of all, Joshua, yeah, again, just super appreciative of you joining us. I think personally, since we've met, just have seen so much growth in you, and just appreciate kind of the deep dive that you've been doing in your own faith. So I'm excited that you're going to have this opportunity to share. As Richard said, we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. I think baptism is a complicated subject. And one of the things that would love to hear your perspective on is what has led you to, you know, deciding to be baptized. I know that you're going to be baptized. The plan is right around Easter with a couple other gentlemen in our group, which is super exciting for all of us. But what kind of led you to be baptized? And then kind of how has your faith journey evolved leading up to this decision?
Well, that's two very good questions. First off, I want to just say that baptism is personal. So this is my own personal testimony. And it's what I believe, and I think everyone has their own testimony and what they believe. So, you know, what I decided on my journey was to get baptized, and it wasn't like an overnight thing. It has been eating at my heart for quite a while. And I think the first thing that pushed me to be baptized was I felt like there was a calling for me to do more, something more in my life that I hadn't seen. I think for the majority of my life, I was selfish and did my own ways and lived my own life. And it got me to a place where, you know, where God said, hey, let's look at your life and change it for a little bit. And he introduced me to my wife, and my wife, you know, helped me plant that seed. And we had many conversations, and what I realize now that in my walk of faith is I need to surrender, and by surrender I mean I need to, you know, repent for my sins, deny myself, pick up my own cross, and live my life like Jesus. So to answer the first question, there's many factors that led me to this decision of being baptized. You know, my hope is that being baptized helps me have a stronger relationship with God and Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And with that, I'm able to do more in my community, more for other people, and more for my family as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I know that you kind of grew up Catholic, and one of the things that's, you know, interesting about the subject of baptism is the variety of kind of beliefs around the subject itself. So, could you maybe talk to us a little bit about, you know, the difference from how you grew up and kind of how you look at it currently? I know that, you know, Catholicism typically talks about infant baptism. So I was just wondering if you have kind of a transitioned or different perspective than you did when you were growing up.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this whole week, this past 2 weeks, whenever I decided to get baptized, I've been on this spiritual journey. And I told God that I'll start being more like Jesus. So I started fasting, and on top of my intermittent fasting, I started doing a 1 day fast, and, you know, I pray and then that fast, and I get to know God at a deeper level and see what he's been trying to tell me. And being Catholic, as far as the infant baptism, I appreciate it. I appreciate that there's a religion, or there's a, you know, part of Christianity that follows tradition and everything to that extent, and what the beliefs are. So I appreciated being baptized. I appreciated, you know, going to communion class and confirmation class. And I went to private school my whole life. So a private Catholic school my whole life. So it wasn't until college where, you know, I kind of lost that foundation that built me on. And then again, the turning point on that was meeting my wife and, you know, her showing me that, you know, it was the believer's, I guess like a believer's choice. Like, it's your choice if you want to be baptized. And the two prerequisites that I could think of was, you know, do you have faith in Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And if he is, then that's the first part. And the second part is, you know, do you want to live a discipleship life and help others? And I always believe that. So that in turn, you know, has helped me make my decision. And I don't think, I do believe now that there is a difference between infant baptism and a believer's baptism. To say it's wrong or right, I can't, you know, that's a personal, a personal journey for that person going through it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, I grew up in Catholic school, and I think I've always, like you, respected this idea of kind of dedicating a child to God. And I think that we can all agree on the fact that, you know, when a parent brings their child to, you know, in that case, as part of a sacrament, you know, in some of our other faiths, there's a dedication of a baby. You're basically saying that you're going to raise this child in the faith. So to your point, I think it is it's a personal choice. And I think that, you know, it's a rich conversation to have. But I know it's also part of your story. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also I wanted to add too, with these 2 weeks, I went down a lot of rabbit holes. If one of the guys at men's group would appreciate. And one of them is, you know, looking back and biblically, what does it mean to be baptized? And, you know, the word itself coming from Greek and the translations versus the transliteration of it. And I got a deeper appreciation of my decision of why I want to get baptized. And that's helped me on my journey as well.
Yeah. And so I grew up Catholic, right? Like, and I went to Catholic church, and really recently I, you know, started going to a Christian church, probably I'd say about 10 years ago. You know, and it's you're right, like what you mentioned, right? When I was a baby, I was dedicated, or they still call it baptism back in the day, because I'm an old guy, so and now I think they're calling it dedication or dedicating the baby. And here's the thing, right, is that in my older age, I have not been baptized, like, in a Christian church, right? So, and it's, you're right, it's a personal choice whether you want to do that or not. And you know, and it's really, you're right, it's a personal choice. And will I go out and get baptized? Maybe. You know, and there's a lot of Bible verses out there about being baptized, right? And that is, like you said, your commitment to God, and you're going to live a godly life. So, and it's, I don't know, I don't look at it as as transactional, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't think that's not how God works, right? It's not a transaction, but it's something that is, I think will help raise your faith and spirituality, right? So it's I believe it's extremely important to do. And why haven't I done it? I guess I'm not at the point where I feel like, I feel like I could do more, right? I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but I want to be able to be at a level where, yes, I want to fully commit and get baptized and do this. And I don't know. I guess it's not a feeling, maybe not a feeling of being whole, right? Because I don't think you ever will feel whole. Maybe you will. I don't know. But it's.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Easter. Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like it's. I don't know. Maybe it's just. I think it's, for me, it's just a personal type feeling.
Yeah, and for the most part, you know, I didn't think about it. I thought, you know, me being baptized as a baby, that was it. Like it was a one time thing, and like I said, ever since I came to church here in Colorado, you know, I was on a different personal journey, and it didn't hit me until maybe like 2 years ago, and I was like, man, maybe I should get baptized. You know, I do have these new beliefs. I do have this new foundation that I believe in. And, you know, now it's just the reason of why I'm not getting baptized. And for the most part of it, being a father, I wanted my kids to see me turn to God and fully commit myself, even though I have already mentally fully committed and done, you know, like tithing and fasting and stuff like that. But, you know, I wanted them to witness it. I wanted to be a witness for my kids to see their father be baptized. And one of the sermons, the pastor said, you know, don't wait. Like, it's not, I guess the best way to, the way I interpreted it was like, stop giving excuses. Like, give yourself to God. Like, your kids are going to be fine. Your family is going to be fine if you want them to see you get baptized. Like, that was kind of like the push that, you know, like, stirred the pot or accelerated my baptism. And yeah, and for the most part, I came here in 2021. So it's been 4 years of it being in my mind. So it's a lot of praying and a lot of, you know, eating at my heart of whether I should and should not get baptized, and many conversations with, you know, non-denominational Christians about it, and a lot of rabbit holes and a lot of rabbit trails, you know, many nights and many work days of just like thinking about it, it ate me. So, yeah, I just figured, you know what, like, it's in God's hands. Let me commit. And my heart's in the right place. So I decided to do it.
Yeah, no, I get it. And, you know, and that's kind of like where I'm at is I want to be able to, I fasted before, you know, 1 day, 2 days. Right. And all that's leading up to, you know, being closer to God. Right. Yeah. And I get it. People are going to say, just do it. Right, whether it's your pastor or your friends or someone from men's group or relatives, whoever that is, right? It's just do it. However, it's like when you're ready, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I want to get prepared by doing these things, by praying about it, by fasting, by reading my Bible or whatever that looks like. Right. Those steps, and then it's like, okay, now I'm ready to be baptized. I guess that's where I'm at. It's like, okay, what can I do for God to be able to get closer to Him and feel like, you know, it's time for me to go and get baptized. So,
yeah. I mean, this is such a rich subject. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of what the Bible directly says in some of the scriptures. But personally, I was baptized right before I went to college, just as a public kind of display of my faith, and then was baptized about 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, as kind of a rededication. Had been through a lot in life, and just felt like I had a different look on faith, which sounds like, you know, both of you have had before. I guess, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about a lot of churches now is that they actually do like a prep class or some sort of discussion around baptism. And Josh, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, but I know that you went to a class, was it last week? Was there anything that stood out to you, you know, from our church that kind of resonated with you as you, you know, look to do this on Easter? And I think, again, this is something that I think we can all agree that we take very seriously. It's a public display, but it's also, which we'll find kind of in scripture, that it's a command as part of the Great Commission to be baptized. So anything that kind of stood out to you that you found beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, I was told the class, if you were going to get baptized, you know, not in a big group, it would take like 10 to 15 minutes with the pastor. You know, we're having about 47 people get baptized on Easter Sunday. That's awesome. So, you know, it's all in God's glory. But what stood out to me was the death part. I think a lot of stuff that's been eating at me is denying yourself and picking up your cross. And I think it was Romans, which is part of our list. Romans 6:3-4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Hmm. So, again, I appreciate, and I kind of knew, you know, the generalization of why we get baptized now, like I said, in my walk of faith, but it didn't hit me that it's a death, like we're going to be immersed in water, just the way Jesus was immersed in our sins, and he came out and resurrected, and we're going to be picked out of that water and have this new life with him and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that was more of a personal connection that I got whenever Pastor was reading that Bible verse. But yeah, the death, denying yourself and picking up your cross, and it's a daily task that we have to do every day. And you know, I agree on why we get baptized and why people sometimes get baptized more than once, of it being a public display, but you can get baptized every day on your own. It doesn't have to be a public display. You know, it just needs one person to help you be baptized in your outward faith. But you can daily wash your sins away and give yourself up. And that's also a accountability for being baptized.
Yeah, I love that imagery. And I think, you know, for me, the power of water is such a symbol for all of us. I mean, you think 2/3 of the world is water, right? And when we think about washing bad things away or washing, mm-hmm. you know, blood away, whatever it is, how much we use water. And I think it's just such a cool thing to think about. The cleansing of our sins, but then also to your point, going under the water and coming out kind of a new creation is just super cool.
Yeah. I've witnessed baptisms. I've been a part of baptisms, and you know, when people come out of that water and you see people coming out of the water and the face, you know, the look they have on their face, it's refreshing to see that, right? And it encourages you to be able to see what's going on with you know, the people that are getting baptized, and you know, it probably makes you want to go out there. I know I've seen it where people who were not planning on getting baptized, and it was baptism day, and last minute, you know, I know someone who's done that. I know several people have done that.
I've done it too. Like, yeah. Whenever the pastor gives an opportunity to be baptized, you know, I'm like, man, do I just put myself out there and have this radical change that, you know, that has been eating at me? Mm-hmm. Or do I, like I said, make excuses and say, hey, you know, let me just wait for the kids to be older. Let me be in the right space. Let me fast and pray about it and see what the outcome is. But yeah, I'm on the same boat. Like, I thought of that probably every time the pastor has given an opportunity for a random person to get baptized.
Yeah.
It crossed my mind, but
yeah.
I don't know if the enemy was just stronger that day or if I didn't have a full heart or if something was on my mind that was distracting me, but
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. It's, just run up, take your shirt off, and just jump in.
Yeah, there's no wrong way to be baptized, right? I mean, I think that's the cool thing. My daughter got baptized in Hawaii, which was super special. That's and cool. I've seen people get baptized in the ocean. I've seen people mm-hmm. get baptized in hot tubs, right? I think it's the intent. Yeah. And it's kind of the public nature of it that.
Yeah, I tried. Public. I asked to be shirtless, but that was a no go from our church.
After everyone's yeah. gone, then
we can... I've been working out, and they said no.
Why? Because we work out.
Yeah. We work out.
Well, yeah. Again, just appreciate you sharing your story, and you know, obviously, you'll continue to share your story. But you brought up that Romans 6:3-4 verse. I guess I'll open it up to the whole group. What does the Bible say about baptism? Kind of what sticks out to you all when you think about, you know, certain passages.
So, the one that came up for me was Matthew 28:19-20. And the verse says, essentially it says Jesus instructs his disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it says that it establishes baptism as a core part of the discipleship process, right? So mm-hmm. As disciples, they have the power to go out there and baptize people, like it says, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? So as I'd like to think of ourselves as believers and try to get close to discipleship, to be able to go out and not really baptize people, but more lead them into the word, right? And this is really what what we try in group is someone who shows up for the first time. It's like, hey, let's talk about this. And hopefully this will help strengthen your faith and you continue to come, or you start reading your Bible more, or you start praying more, right? So, and I see that as some type of form of discipleship, where we can open that door, hold that door open for them, so that they can, you know, continue to step through it. So,
yeah. And for me, this one was a little bit more personal. On Monday, I was reading my Bible after I fast, and I came across John 3:5. It said, "Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.'" And that stuck out with me because I've been having these dreams, or a dream, many of times in my life where I was left behind. And I don't know why I was left behind, but on this last dream I had, an angel basically told me that I wasn't, my job here on earth wasn't ready, wasn't done. Like I need to do more. And personally, I wanted to be in the kingdom of God. But knowing that I didn't get in, you know, being a good person and you know, going to church every day and trusting in God and tithing and fasting and trying to be a good role model, it really struck me that I was left out. But I was reassured that my time wasn't ready yet. And when I read that verse, you know, I cried. Because I knew that this was the next step. And I wanted to be ready in case, you know, Jesus ever came back.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, thank God for signs like that, right? And thank God that, you know, he gave you that dream as a sign for what you needed to do. And I think, again, I'm just super impressed with you being able to take what God's telling you and make that decision. So I think we all agree that it's going to be a super, super happy day for a lot of us in the group to watch you and others be baptized, because we kind of know the stories behind. And that's, again, why we appreciate this group and why we don't take it lightly and why we appreciate people being vulnerable.
Yeah. I'll be there. We'll be there. I'm cheering you on. Yeah. I actually printed out a big picture head.
That's right. Pull it up. Yeah. We'll put a fat head on the wall. We're here for Josh.
Yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that. I think for me, the scripture that actually stood out, and it kind of goes with what Josh just shared, was Mark 16:16. And the reason why it stood out for me, and maybe this is the next question, but Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And it kind of brought up this idea of, even based on how you read it, whoever believes and is baptized, right, is saved. And so it brought up this question for me of, do you have to be baptized, right? Or is belief enough? And I think based on even how you read this, and of course this isn't the original scripture and text, but it brought up the question of, you know, is belief enough, or do you actually need to be baptized? So I'm going to throw that out there to the group. I don't have a personal opinion, but I think one of the things that I've appreciated about these types of things and being in the Word is that it causes you to think about questions and dig deeper into the Word, and dig deeper into research.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first, or you want to go
first? Sure. No, go ahead, Josh.
All right. I think you do not have to be baptized in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, we see it with the thief at the cross. And who knows? We don't know his life, and we don't know if he was baptized as a baby or if he was baptized, you know, over a home or something like that. But, you know, from what we read and what we read in the Bible, it's assumed that he was a criminal and he was not, you know, following God's law was not a believer. But on the day of crucifixion, you know, he believed, and Jesus said that you'll be with me in paradise. So, you know, based on that assumption, my opinion is that you do not need to be baptized in order to enter the kingdom of heaven.
So I agree with you on that. I don't feel like you need to be baptized. I think the biggest part of it is your how strong is your faith, right? Do you have all your faith in God? And you know, I'm going through I'm studying the Revelation right now. And it's very interesting. So we're towards the end of it, and it talks about like the book of life, right? And then other books that open up, and all the everything you've done, right? And will baptism help you? Oh yeah, you see, Richard got baptized in his book of life, or in his book of everything that he's done, right? Will that give me a plus one? I don't think so. I don't think it will. I mean, just like I said, this is my personal opinion on it, because I think for me it has to be your faith. Your faith has to be really strong, really, really 100% faith, trust in God, right? That He is there for you and is going to protect you, is going to continue to walk with you, and whatever highs and lows that you are going through in your life, right? So, and that's all He wants. Right? He loves us. He just wants our love in return. Right. And that, you know, baptism, that's something that I think helps, might help people get closer to God. Right. So, I mean, it is very important, I think. However, I don't think it's needed to get through to get to God's kingdom. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm still, as I said, battling with the question. In a good way, right? I guess I agree with both of you. I actually look at a verse, Ephesians 2:8-9, which I think is a very popular verse, but it says, you know, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And I think, you know, the belief is obviously a non-negotiable. And I don't know that there are any works, including baptism, that can get us into the kingdom of God. So that's where I've landed, but I think it's a good question for all of us to continue to think about, right?
It's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said about grace. Like, you know, for the people who don't have access to who Jesus is, whether because of where they live in the country or in the world, you know, because of God's grace, you know, whenever the time comes, they'll have an opportunity to meet the Creator, and you know, because of His grace, He can let them in, or He, you know, won't let them in. But you know, it's not their fault that they didn't know who Jesus was. You know, everybody has a story, and you know, that's why I love God's grace over us.
great conversation on baptism. Wow, thank you, Joshua, Caleb, for that. By the way, our other co-host, Jeff, is not here tonight. He's out doing coaching kids, baseball. Doing Jeff things.
Which something with Jeff sports. Things are great things always.
Absolutely. It has to do with sports. We all know that. So
happy opening day as well.
he's doing batting practice. He's
I saw the flyover and I worked downtown.
Oh, I bet that was cool. Oh man, I bet that was really cool. So if you're wondering out there who are our regular listeners, even our new listeners, we have another co-host, Jeff, who's a regular, but he's not here tonight. So all right, so we're going to go into the fellowship section of our podcast. And like I said, the baptism discussion was really, really good. I think we could have gone another, 30 minutes, 45 minutes on that because it's such a great subject. So, Caleb, what do you got for fellowship questions?
Yeah, so not to spoil what you just said, but we're actually going to talk a little bit more about baptism, but in a different way. I think we've talked a little bit about this from, sideways almost, but baptism has an impact on the community, right? Baptism has an impact on the community of believers that we're a part of, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, as Josh said. And so one of the things I'd love to hear this group talk about a little bit is, how does baptism symbolize a commitment to Christ? And how does it play a role in strengthening our faith and accountability within a church community?
Well, that was a loaded question. how does baptism symbolize a commitment to Christ? I think, as far as the community goes, it's an outward, profession of you're going to dedicate your life to God and live your life like Jesus and be more like him. But, with that being said, it's easier said than done. It's not a one day event and you move on. I think there has to be true transformation and people need to see that transformation in your heart of who you were and who you become. And I think, for me, it's one of my many struggles was my character. I think, the way I was raised was, I guess you call it tough love and lots of jokes and, stuff like that. And, being a father now, I need to be conscious of what I say and be aware of what I'm doing because it has an impact. And, being baptized, I'm saying I do to Christ and I'm saying yes to a commitment, that I am changing, that I want to live a better life for my friends and family and the church community. So, I think it's a really big impact. And, to sum it up, it's just my testimony. And that's what we all have. We all have our own testimony to give others, when others are not strong and might need help. So I guess, does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, man. I don't know if they're cutting, I don't know if they're cutting onions in here or what, but I'm getting a little teary eyed. So,
it was all those, I'm not
crying. You're crying. That was awesome. Thank you, Josh.
All the onions.
Onions. We have an onion pizza right now.
Yeah.
We'll blame that. No, you're right. It is a personal commitment, right? And for others to see that visually is to, and they see your personal commitment because people don't have insight into your personal lives, right? Someone could be walking down the street. You don't know how they are with God. You people at work, you don't know how they are with God, right? But if you go to church and you happen to see a coworker or someone, an acquaintance or something like that, right? And you see that commitment down there getting baptized, right? That is huge. Right. And that can play a role into, starting to talk to them about, and we'll probably get into it a little later in a couple more questions, but, I think it just opens it up and then, helps you. I think it helps me with my faith anyways. Right. Cause it's like, all right, another brother in Christ, right. Another woman in Christ, another kid who's, committed to Christ, and it's great to see, right? That personal commitment that they're making to be able to you know, be closer to God. So it's
I think we get a lot of value in our testimony, and I think that's why I like going to men's group every Tuesday is the value that we hear others share, and whether we can help them or, you know, we need help from them based on their testimony. It doesn't have to be with baptism. It can be with the everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to baptism, you know, the outward profession at a church, you know, there's somebody that I see at church every week and then I see them get baptized, you know, that might stir somewhere in their heart, you know, to ask me a question, or I can ask them a question on what they felt or like how the process was or what they believe or the logistics behind it. But, you know, that's the power of God working in our hearts is, and that's part of our commitment too, is we need to be there. And I see that now. When I first started going to men's group, I was like, I'll just, you know, play it by ear and see how it goes. I just met this guy like 3 days ago, mm-hmm. and he invited me to men's group. So we're moving too fast, but for the most part, I took a chance. And like I said, having more wisdom now, being there for a few years, that's why I go. I want to be there for other people that are new or, you know, older members, just to, you know, hear their testimony and continue to hear their daily struggles and their daily, mm-hmm. you know, successes and hopes that, you know, I can grow and they can grow. We can all grow together.
Yeah. Caleb waited. I didn't wait 3 days to invite Caleb to men's group, by the way.
I think I invited you right away. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that you did. I think, you know, for me, if I'm going to answer my own question, I think that it comes down to accountability. And so I think as I think about the person that is getting baptized, it's similar to a marriage where you're standing in front of people, like Josh was talking about and mm-hmm. Richard, you were talking about. You're standing in front of people and saying, this is my commitment. This is my public kind mm-hmm. of deal that I am going to live differently to the best of my ability. And I'm going to dedicate my life to Christ, right? Like that's the thing. And then I think from a community standpoint, as we watch these people get baptized, it's super exciting, but we also have to remember that we're accountable to supporting them. And so, you know, similar to our men's group, we are responsible for pointing people in the right direction, whether that's back to their spouse or back to the word or back to a friendship that they need to repair. And I think that that is something that as I watch people get baptized and they make that very, very strong commitment, we have to be willing as a community of believers to actually support those people in their commitment. Mm-hmm. And that can look in a variety of ways. So,
yeah, absolutely. Lift them up. Right. And that's why this group is important, right? Because we have men who will lift us up and help us whatever challenges we might be going through. Right. And this past Tuesday, check-ins took an hour and 40 minutes. And there was, 15 of us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, we only have 20 minutes to talk about, you know, our Bible subject, which is okay, right? Because there's stuff weighing on every man's heart, whatever that looks like. And to be able to just talk about it and let it out. And for us to listen and to not judge
mm-hmm.
and to help them, right, have a conversation after group breaks. You know, you see men talking all the time individually in, you know, in their little breakout group about whatever is going on. So, but yeah, it's being able to show that personal commitment publicly could be huge for some people, right? It could be huge because it's like they could be a very personal person. They don't want to share their personal lives out in public. But then when you do that, public baptism, it's a big commitment. So
yeah. Well, I have one last question for Josh first, and then the group. But Josh, is there anything else from a baptism perspective that you wanted to share before I ask my question?
I think when I was going down this rabbit hole, I think a lot of stuff that I saw was like sprinkling versus immersion, infant versus, you know, believer's choice. And I think overall, you know, it's going to be a personal journey. So get right with God and however way that means, whether it's prayer, whether it's through, you know, a men's group, whether it's through, you know, the local pastor at your church, and just get a better understanding. That's my, you know, two cents, is I needed a better understanding of what I was getting myself into and what it really meant. And I reached out to a couple of people, and I reached out to, you know, my wife as well. And we had many conversations about baptism, that, you know, were very colorful. But yeah, it was, yeah, it's a journey. Like I said, it's not a radical thing that I just said, hey, I believe I'm going to get baptized. It was more of things that were eating at my heart for the past 4 years and past 37 years of my life, where, you know, I thought I was right. And I'm having these dreams, I'm having these, you know, premonitions about stuff that, you know, I didn't expect or didn't want. So, but overall, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm looking forward to what's to come on Easter Sunday.
That's awesome. You actually answered my question, which was, do you have any advice for somebody that's actually thinking about baptism? And I know that you talked about kind of educating yourself and looking into it and speaking with people that are close to you. You know, folks that are your support group or support system, but I guess that's my question for the group. What do you all think? Any advice for people that are thinking about it?
I can add one to it. I mean, the first one was, you know, don't give yourself a reason to not get baptized. You know, if it's on your heart and it's weighing about it, pray, but don't say that, you know, in my case, I'm gonna wait for my kids to be older so they can witness it. Mm-hmm. Don't give the enemy an excuse to, you know, have an impact on your life. That's my first advice and what I talked about earlier. But what I want to say is, if you are going to get baptized, obedience is important, but it should come from your heart and with love. Don't do it because you're trying to earn God's approval. Do it because it's genuinely what you feel in your heart, and it's out of love that you are going to do the baptism. Right. So obedience with love.
So thanks, Josh, for sharing your advice. As far as for me, you kind of mentioned it, right? Like, I think your heart has to be in the right place. And for me, it's like, I don't feel that right now. I really don't. Like, I hear baptisms are coming up in churches, and the church I go to or the church you guys go to, and it's like, I don't have a draw to go and get baptized, really. I don't know I think that's for me as a personal thing. And, you know, like I said earlier, I think it's more of like, I want to be able to be in a good, right space in my faith to be able to go in and say, yes, I want to get baptized. I've had a lot of opportunities to get baptized, but it's like the whole, just, I don't feel ready right now. Mm-hmm. Right? Whether that's something that I'm not at a point in my faith, or if it's something that just doesn't feel right, or is something that's just, I don't know. It's a very, very, very personal thing. Right? So, and I love seeing people get baptized. I love seeing it, right? Because that is their commitment. And it's not to say I'm not committed to God. I am. I truly am. And, you know, I feel like my faith is strong. There's areas in my life that I can work on, and a lot of people do, right? So I think when I do get that pull to get baptized, and I know it feels right, then I'll go do it, right? But as far as advice, like, I think it's a very personal thing where, you know, if you feel the time is right, if God's speaking to you and you're listening, right, and you see signs of it, you know, yeah, absolutely go out and do it. You know, for me, it's, I want to say I'm listening. I'm just not feeling it at the moment. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, like, in my faith. So I don't think it's a bad thing, really. You know, it's just, I want to be able to be in a right space to do that. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think, to answer my own question, Caleb, great question. My thoughts would be more from a community believer standpoint. I think the question I would ask is, you know, to the person who's contemplating baptism, is there something that can be kind of demonstrated to somebody else in the community with you getting baptized, right? I think it's a public kind of decision that people make. And to Josh's, I think, earlier point, and actually Richard's too, it's really cool to see people get baptized. And I think that sometimes that decision can be outside of ourselves. And I also think, like, the connection between one of our previous subjects around spiritual warfare is also a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So this idea of, you know, there are always reasons to not get baptized. There are always reasons to not make the right decision. There are always reasons that, you know, Satan can put inside of us. And so I think you just got to be aware, right? Like, you got to be aware of what voices you're listening to. But I completely agree with you, Richard, that you need to do it when you're ready. And I would suggest that, you know, anybody that's contemplating it would actually pray for the wisdom from God of when they are ready.
Right.
And that way the timing will be perfect. So, right.
Yeah, I think I'll add to that. Don't look at others' falls as an excuse too. So that was another thing that ate at me. I would see people who get baptized and then turn their life away from God. And one of my things that I was battling is I don't want to put myself in that situation. I want to get baptized and then I fall short of God's glory. And my own glory too, of my expectations. And so when I seen people fall short after they got baptized, you know, that prolonged my decision as well. So don't look at your own life. Don't look at other people's lives whenever you're making this decision. And that's why I agree with you. It's a personal choice and it's a personal commitment, and you have to pray about it and do whatever you need to do to get right with God before you decide to get baptized.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. It's something that, you know, don't do it for somebody else. Do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and when you're ready, you're ready. So,
that's right.
All right. Great discussion. Wow. This has been a really good one, and I appreciate it. Listen, I got to say that all our podcasts that we throw out there has been really great discussions, and I appreciate this one because this subject is, everyone has different views on it.
Yeah, that's right? Why it's hard to talk about.
It is.
It's like, you don't want to say something that can hurt somebody else's feelings, and you also, you know, need to say it because it's your testimony as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And these are our own personal opinions, right? Like, and it's something that, like, someone's going to be listening out there, and they might get offended to what we say. They're going to agree with it or they may not. And, you know, that's okay because this is our thoughts on it. Right. And we can all disagree on something. I can agree on one thing and you could disagree on something. Right. And it's something that, is what we look at and what we believe in. And ultimately, right, the Bible is the manual for life.
Right? One of my rabbit trails that I went down was, you know, we're going through all this stuff in our life, our own lives. And one of the things that I read was that's why our brain cannot remember everything we do in our lives. Mm-hmm. We have memory loss. And the reason we have memory loss is, imagine if our brain never shut down, we would literally learn everything and our mind would be the one that's controlling us.
Yeah.
So our mind resets and we forget things. Like, I don't even know what I ate 2 days ago.
You know, nothing, I don't know if you were fasting.
Yeah,
if you were fasting with zero things.
That was Wednesday. I definitely ate Wednesday. But in general, that was one of the rabbit trails that I went down. Is, you know, God made us in His own image, but to that sense, you know, our brain is wired so we won't know everything that we're doing because it needs to forget. And if we forget, then we have our own interpretation of what we thought of the event that was.
Right.
So that was pretty cool that I went down that rabbit trail.
Yeah. That's, you're right. I can see that. I can see what you're saying. That could be that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, there's a medical term for it, but that's a different department.
Where's Dr. J when we need him, right? So, all right. Thank you. That was a great discussion about baptism and fellowship, you know, fellowship and baptism. So we're gonna head into our next and last subject, which is You know, I'm just going to say alcohol, right? Because we...
Well, today it's beer.
It's beer. It's we do have beer, beer, right?
Cold yeah. beer on a Friday night.
Yeah, why not? So, that's right. All right. Great discussion on baptism. So, we're going to go to our last segment, which is beer, alcohol.
Alcohol in our case.
It's alcohol, right? Like, I think we've... here's the thing, right? Is that there's so many... great drinks out there, and we all drink different things, and we all enjoy different types of alcohol. So, but listen, tonight we mainly beer. However, we had we're also drinking lunch boxes, which was prepared by someone special. So, and if y'all don't know what a lunchbox is, it's amaretto, orange juice. Cheap beer, whatever cheap beer you have, like, you know,
like gluten or something,
Bud Light, and that's it, right? So it's actually, so the cheap beer that we're that's in our lunchbox is called, what's
it's
it called?
It's not cheap beer.
it's a lighter beer. You put a lighter
it's
beer.
Ale.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this particular beer is gluten-free, and as I said, you know, if someone's gluten-free, you know.
Because they keep talking about
that's
it.
Right, that's right.
CrossFit.
That's me.
That CrossFit.
All right. So this particular one is called the Shrouded Summit. And it's from Ghost Fish Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington.
That's gluten-free? And
it's gluten-free.
Is it the same company as Dogfish by chance? Do you know?
It is not. Ghost Fish is different. But pretty good beer. It's a Belgian white ale, and it looks like it is 4.5%.
You know, so, I took a
lighter beer.
I took a sip of that before we made the lunch boxes, and it's actually pretty good.
It is.
Yeah. It's a great tasting beer. I think Josh, you took a sip of that too, right?
Yeah, I've been drinking dark beer, so
yeah. So
it was a refreshing for me to drink a lighter beer.
Cleanse the palate.
I don't really drink dark beer. Yeah, it got me ready to walk in the snow to my car.
Yeah. So and then you brought another beer, right, Caleb? What's
it called? The other one also gluten free. I don't know if I talked about the fact that I'm gluten free
to this point, but too, bro.
I did
not know.
So I had mentioned previous podcasts that Holidaily Brewing, which is in Golden, Colorado, was a favorite of mine. So this is, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's called the Riva or Riva Stout. And it's actually named after a dog.
Go Dogs.
It was a dog that was in the 10th Mountain Division Bravery.
Oh, cool.
In 1945. But this is actually a stout, and it is 6.5% alcohol, gluten-free, and... also on the can, names that Holidaily is a woman-owned brewery, which we are excited about. So definitely would recommend going to Holidaily if you're ever in Golden and trying the Riva or Riva Stout.
And it's good. You like it?
Very good. Yes, those are my gluten-free options for the group today.
Are you gluten-free?
I am. I don't know if I told you. But let's go to the gluten-full beers that are on the table.
Joshua, you brought a couple of beers. What did you bring?
I did bring two. I traveled on Wednesday to Windsor, Colorado, which is about a 45-minute drive north. Me and the girls did a road trip, and I got a German dark wheat ale called, and I'm not German, so I might mispronounce it, but Dunkelweizen. It's 6.2%, and... this is what I drank there last week. I went there on my wife and my daughter's spring break. I don't have any more, so I can't share it with you, Caleb. But
it's brewed with horsepower.
Yep, straight horsepower. but it was good. It was it was on the darker side, and I'm more of like a amber, so like a, you know, Modelo or Victoria type of Pacifico type of person. Yeah. But that one was good, and I drank a few more than I needed to that day. But I did bring a second bottle, and this one I just tasted because it is 16-point-something%.
16%.
Oh. It's like a shot of whiskey.
Exactly. this one is called Bootlegger's English Barrel Wine, and the website didn't have it
listed
on
what's in it. What brewery is that?
This is called a Mash Lab.
Mash Lab.
Yeah.
Mash Lab.
Yeah, they do have good wings. This Bootlegger's English barrel whiskey barreled aged for 4 years in Spirit Hound Distillery barrels.
Spirit Hound's a whiskey.
You want to take Colorado? A sip?
No, I can't. I can't because I'm gluten free.
I'll go right through you. You won't even feel it. But yeah, it tastes. It's very dark. This one is super dark, and I can't do dark beers that much because. I don't know. It just hits me different.
Put you on the floor.
Yeah. So I'm more of the, you know, medium to light roasted beers.
What do you think of the taste of that thing?
It's different.
It's a different taste.
Yeah. It's a lot of it's a lot of flavors. No, it's not bad. Like I can drink this and
let me taste that.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Uh-oh. I had a
donut yesterday.
You sure?
We cannot edit this out.
We're not editing this part out.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Brings you back to the good old days.
That's right. And
PG. The PG right. days.
My stomach is a rumbling.
You know where the bathroom's at, bro.
Yeah, this one's good. Again, they only sell it there, so you have to go to Mash Lab in Windsor, Colorado to get it next to Bucky's in that area. And I'm pretty sure me and the family will go back, but yeah, that's what I brought in today.
Nice. Thanks for bringing those beers. Actually, I tried that Downshift Dunkelweizen. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty good. And then I'm drinking that Bootleg now. I love barley wines. And that one's good. It's a very strong taste on the front end of that, right? So.
Yeah, it hits you at first, but then it smooths out at the very end.
Yep.
I don't really do pairings well with the beer, so I just drink it and as they come. So
I got some chocolates. You want to pair that with some chocolates?
Yeah.
So
get some coffee beans to reset my palate.
Yeah.
There you go.
Why not? So we cracked open, okay, so like alcohol, it's not beer, but we cracked open that Two Town Cider House.
Mm.
It's called the Bad Apple, and it's 10.5%. Two Town Cider House. Caleb, you had some, right?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Very, very good.
Good.
It was like, a good like warm-up.
There's still a little bit left.
It was a good warm-up.
I'll try it. I'll finish it.
Here. So finish that thing, will you? Yeah.
That's right.
Straight from the bottle. You drink from the bottle tonight, buddy.
Is it, where are they at? Are they here in Colorado?
No, they're not in Colorado. I'm not sure where they're at. You have to look at the bottle and see where they're at.
Oregon?
Oregon.
Corvallis, Oregon.
Yeah, I got that as part of my allotment for working a big beer fest that comes once a year here in Colorado.
So, the Great American one?
The Great American Beer Festival. Yes.
Did you know that my household also has an event?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's called the Great African American Beer Fest, unofficially. But we're proud of it, and just a lot less attendees.
Yeah. So, is it? It's
but held, equally as well run.
Well, is it specific to certain type of beer, or is it all kinds of beer?
It's pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin beers,
as well as anything else that makes sense. It's a fall beer.
Okay, so fall beers.
Invites to come out.
How about that?
In the next
fall beers
6 months.
That's awesome. Why are you laughing at me, dude?
I mean, it's kind of far away.
Hey, you got to prepare now because, listen, before you know it, it's going to be October, and we're going to have to go scrambling for Christmas gifts, right?
Right.
So
the
whatever.
The technique's on point.
Yeah, exactly. So what'd you think of that one, that Bad Apple?
I mean, I drink it. It's cider, right? It's apple cider.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drink any ciders. I'm not. My wife would probably love this one. She's a big cider person. But
dude, 10% cider. 10%. 10.5% cider. That's that's a lot of alcohol.
Bring this out on date night.
All right. Well, I got a parting gift for the both of you. So yeah.
Nice.
One each when you go home. So all right. Well,
that was a gift certificate for our date night.
There you go.
Guess not.
This was some lunchbox.
I could give certificate too. Yeah, so I think all around great drinks that we're experiencing. We have each of us has two glasses full of alcohol that we need to finish up before we go home. And then sober up and then go home, right? So anyways, gentlemen, thank you for a great conversation, you know, about baptism. And, you know, it is a personal choice, I feel, right? Like, and when you're ready, I feel like when you're ready, do it, mm-hmm. right? So do it for you and not for anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
and if you need more information, you come to Satire Beer.
Yeah.
Brewing on Tuesdays and ask one of the guys that's getting baptized.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Josh, for that. And that's like, you know, for any man out there who's listening, if you're in the Denver, Colorado area and you're looking for a men's group, come visit us at Satire Brewery Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8. We're there every Tuesday, minus major holidays. And if you need more information, go to our website, BibleBrothersAndBeer.com.
Richard's phone number is 303.
Don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe.
That's right. Hit the like button. We're not there yet. No. We'll get there. But listen, it's you guys know, if you're listening and you don't have a men's group, or you're not attended, you're thinking about it, I'm telling you now. Now you know about it. We're opening the door for you. It's up to you to step through it and show up, right? If you need a men's group. Because listen, I think men need other men to, you know, to be able to be themselves, right? And open up and have someone to talk to and be vulnerable, right? Because what we talk about in that group stays in that group. It's like Vegas. We know there's no judgment there. But if you need information, more information, go to our website, or there's a email link at the bottom of the website, info@BibleBrothersAndBeer.com. Come check us out. We would love to have you. Also, if you're a woman, or if you're a man and you know someone who's looking for a women's group.
My mom listens to this podcast.
Oh,
I'm great. Just saying.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
So we know at least one woman is listening to this podcast.
I think after today, two women in my life will probably listen to what I said.
So if you go to our website, yeah, our last guest, last podcast episode, my son, his wife, and my daughter have started a women's group Wednesday nights at Satire Brewery from 6 to 8. So if you're looking for a women's group and you're a woman, women only, please, you know, show up to their group. They would love to have you. There's more information on our website. There's a link for Sisters in Faith, or Sisters in Scripture.
Yeah, Sisters in Scripture with Spritza.
Yeah. Sisters in Scripture. Listen, we'd love to have you at men's group, and I know they would love to have you at women's group. So thank you for listening and spending the time to just listen to us and hear a few guys talk about, you know, Bible, brotherhood, and beer, right? So thank you all for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week and a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Joshua, for coming, and thank you, Caleb, as well. So
thank you, Josh. Thank
you. All right. Take care. Sitting here, drinking beer. All right.